Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mealer here. Happy to have you along today as we visit with Melinda Myers, a nationally known gardening expert. She's a TV and radio host, author, columnist, over 30 years of experience in horticulture, written more than 20 gardening books, and has lots of advice and information on her website. It's melindamyers.com. We're going to be talking with her about hydrangeas and a lot of other things, and of course, we'll be taking your questions as well. If you have a question about roses, you might want to direct it to Jill Nadeau. She's our rose guru. And she's with me to help kick off the Garden Talk Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. At WPR, listener contributions, they're the largest source of funding, and your gift keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. So I hope you'll make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Rose expert Jill, how are we doing?
Hey, Larry. Actually, you know, Melinda's probably a little bit better at roses than me, just a tad. We actually got 32 donors calling in last hour. So thank you, everyone who gave. That's wonderful. Now, the goal this hour is to get 25 gifts, and these goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
So let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time, and we can start with yours right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial free, but that also means that we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, business sponsors are so important, but there's another source that's very important also.
That's right. The largest piece of funding for WPR programs comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of how things work around here, as a matter of fact. When you give, you keep quality, you keep independent talk, information, gardening advice every Friday on Garden Talk on the air. So make your gift right now in support of Garden Talk and all our programs at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given before and you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign that it's time to donate. So when you spend that much time with WPR, that means it's important to you.
And of course, you're important to us as well, because WPR is a listener-supported radio. We count on financial participation from folks like you, people who care about independent news, conversation, and music. Your gift, let's say it's $100 or maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever amount feels right to you, really make a difference. It will really make a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And you can go to WPR.org. You know, if you want to do that, just you can go there or you can phone. Can't they, Jill? Go to 888-202-2552. Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. You help do that, whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month. We certainly appreciate it. We count on your gift.
Absolutely. And giving is so easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Takes just a couple of minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
All right. And oh, it looks like we've got 6 gifts already, and we're looking for 19 more people to join in. You make WPR possible when you give. So call 888-202-2552, or you can go to WPR.org.
Have you seen the new baseball cap yet? Jill.
Oh, I have. I think you're going to get that, Larry.
I'm getting me one of those. And as you listen, you know, if you support Wisconsin Public Radio, you can also ask for that new WPR baseball cap. It's got the WPR logo on the front. You'll show off your public media pride wherever you go. Ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, why don't you become one right now? It's super easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs that you love. So Dale in Wisconsin Rapids says, Larry's show always inspires me. And Carolyn in Duluth says, I especially like your gardening and agriculture shows, which are not available on Minnesota Public Radio. So guess what? You get my donation. Larry, we hear that all the time, and it just, you know, it makes your heart swell.
it does indeed. And you can join Dale and Carolyn with your gift right now. Really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thanks if you've already contributed. If you haven't, hey, do it right now while you're listening to Melinda Myers, our expert and a good friend. She's been a friend of this program for so long, good friend of mine, good friend of Jill's, and I bet it feels like she's a good friend to you, too, as you listen to her. She has that way about her, and she knows so much that helps, too. And one of the things we're going to talk with her about today is hydrangeas, how to pick from the many beautiful varieties, the ongoing care. Of course, we'll take your questions as we do that, and I hope you'll join in. The number to call for that is 800-642-1234. Or email us to ideas@WPR.org. Melinda Myers, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Oh, we don't have her yet. We will get her. I can promise you that we'll get her pretty soon. You know, in situations like this, I'll often go on gardening guru expert Jill Nadeau, who has sent a picture today of the most beautiful rose that I have seen in a long time. It's yellow, and she says the aroma is wonderful. What's the name of that rose you sent?
Well,
you know, the top of your head?
Actually, Larry, I'm looking on my nifty plans here, so I can get that for you. It's called the Honey Perfume Rose. It's a beautiful, soft yellow, and I am absolutely in love with it. And like I told you earlier, I've been out there picking off Japanese beetles and putting them in my soapy water. So it's been looking pretty good. It's been looking real good this fall, so happy about that.
Isn't it kind of fun to just go out there with that soapy water and just get those little devils? I mean, we're trying to save insects in the world.
Right, but not necessarily these. They're kind of in the wrong spot. They should be somewhere else.
They should definitely be somewhere else. Well, I tell you what, Melinda is still not with us. So I tell you what, we'll continue to talk here. Maybe we'll talk a little more about our fun drive. You want to talk about that?
I think we can certainly do that, Larry. Let me get back to that. Okay, yeah, totally. Let's go.
Well, here we are, and I can remember a time when Tom Clark, a name that you may or may not know, was on the program, and his guest didn't show up, and he talked for a whole hour about the fun drive. Now, we're not going to do that today.
No.
I can promise you that. One thing I can promise you, though, that is that your gift right now is so important. And it's, you know, it's gifts from people just like you who are the largest source of funding for programs. You keep the Larry Mueller Show. You keep Garden Talk, which I know it's one of our most popular shows. You keep these programs on the air. All you have to do is go to WPR.org, or you can phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. You're going to make me feel good. You'll feel good, too. And
absolutely.
How are we doing? I mean, are we doing any better here?
Well, you know, let me refresh my screen here. I was just trying to send a number so that maybe Melinda can call us. So hopefully that will work and we'll get her really, really soon. But yeah, so I'm refreshing this. She's having problems with her phone today, and that's why we're having problems getting hold of her. So, you know, landlines these days, they used to be the reliable one. Not so much anymore. Okay, so we are still looking for 19 people to call in and help us out with this pledge today. And I'm sure there's plenty of people listening right now that listen every Friday and then might not be a member. So now is the time. Just go to WPR.org. Which is super simple online, or I'll bet you have a phone real close to you, 888-202-2552.
Make that contribution. WPR exists because people like you contribute, and when we all give, and Jill and I give too, and so does everybody else on our team, your contributions make the biggest difference. So I'll tell you what, make your gift right now. We have Melinda online. We'll get to her in just a second. But I want to just get this plug once more. Go to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Melinda Myers, welcome.
Hey, great to chat with you, Larry. Always a pleasure to talk with you and your listeners. One of my favorite things to do on a Friday.
Well, we love to have you with us. And I wanted to start by talking about hydrangeas.
Yes. Boy, what a hot topic, huh?
Yeah. You know, they look like bushes, but are they technically flowers or both? What's the basics on that?
Well, you know, I'd probably classify them as a shrub. They form the woody stem, or at least somewhat woody, when you talk about the old-fashioned Annabelle hydrangeas, which many of us still grow. And there's such a push for them because some of them are very low maintenance. I just the other night, Wednesday night, did a webinar that's still available on demand on hydrangeas because I know you get lots of questions, and so do I, about this popular plant. The old-fashioned one, right? The Annabelle-type hydrangeas, the four snowball hydrangeas. Some people call them the big, round, white flowers that tolerate shade. And there's even some new ones out that are pink or even have a little pink and ruby red on the outside edges of their petals. So it's expanding the way we can use those. But they're really tough, hardy for our area. Some people cut them back at the end of the season. I like to leave them stand because that dead stuff adds winter interest, right? We're in the north, so our idea of winter interest may be a little different than someone in Georgia and Florida. And then the other ones that are really easy are the panicle hydrangeas. You know, there's probably a dozen new varieties introduced every year, it seems like, trying to improve on the hardy to zone 3, so hardy throughout the state. Little to no pruning needed if you're like me. Some people prune them back a little bit harder, not too hard or you get floppy growth, but to encourage more flowering. But I'm a low-maintenance gardener, so I do minimal pruning.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, to me, part of the benefit. You can train them into a tree, or I like them as a multi-stem shrub. And then there's those that are a little more challenging, like the repeat-blooming big-leaf hydrangeas, like Endless Summer, and all those new varieties that have been introduced that are supposed to bloom for us here in the north on new wood. And for those in the south, they get blooms early on old growth and on new growth. But sometimes we're a little disappointed in the results.
Yeah, and there's some that you can put in a pot anymore, aren't there?
Oh, you bet. And that's one great way to do it. Some of the new, even the panicle hydrangeas, there's some compact ones like Bombshell and Bobo that are nice size. Or if you want something even a little taller, 4 feet or so, you could do Little Lime or Little Quick Fire. And then if you want to try the big leaf hydrangeas, sometimes what I'll do is I'll put them in a pot, store them in my unheated garage for the winter, same with the panicle hydrangeas in containers, water whenever the soil is thawed and dry, insulate the roots with whatever stuff you have in your garage, and sometimes that's a way to help increase the luck that you're going to have some blooms on those repeat bloomers on the old growth as well as the new growth. And so those are some tricks you can try, as well as water and fertilizing. So important on the big leaf ones. Once in the spring, I'm a huge fan of Milorganite because the microorganisms release some of that phosphorus and potassium down to the soil and make it available to the plants. And I found one application in the spring and proper watering really helped tend to nudge those repeat bloomers into flower a little better. So some of the tricks that we talked about, and there's some more intense things you can do if you're really a gentleman named Tim Boebel, B-O-E-B-E-L, has a book, Hydrangeas in the North, Getting Blooms in Colder Climates. And he has this whole pruning and mulch strategy that's been very successful for him. And so it's a little more work than I'm willing to do in my garden. But for those diehards, Larry, and I know they're out there listening, they might want to check out his method.
Have you ever tried tying the hydrangeas up? You know, I see people trying to do that or doing that so they don't flop over. Mine just flop over sometimes and I just let them flop.
See, you and I kind of have somewhat of the same strategy, Larry. Two things you can do. I have some Annabelle hydrangeas. And if I get to it, I like to do my pruning on them late winter, early spring, and I'll cut them back to about 15 inches above the ground. Then I take half of those stems right down to the soil line, and then that old growth tends to support the newer growth, and it reduces that floppiness. I am of the strategy of put some good sturdy neighbors nearby, maybe some ornamental grasses if it's in a sunny spot, maybe some bigger hostas. You know, or maybe some bug bait, something to help hold them up, a few twigs here and there. But I'm kind of like you. I try to plan my landscape just in case I do the pruning. And if they still flop, that's the way they're going to look.
They flop. It's not a flop if they flop.
It is. We planned it that way, right, Larry? We wanted it that way.
Want that look. Melinda Myers, our guest today. You can join in with your gardening questions. I hope you will. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us to ideas@wpr.org. And, you know, while we're thinking about numbers and all, the easiest way to make sure your support for WPR is always current, Jill Dodeau is going to tell you this, is become a sustainer. It means your monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month or $100 a month, any amount you choose, it continues month after month, year after year. So get started now. It feels great at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Absolutely. And Larry, we've got 10 gifts already. We've got 15 to go. And we've got more than a half an hour to do it. So I don't think that'll be a problem. Do you?
No.
Right now. Do that right now, because your gift, it really is so important. Because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
And if you've already given, thanks a bunch. I know we've already had a number of people give, but if you haven't, this is the time to support Garden Talk. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Why don't you make a habit of donating? It's a good habit, a habit you can be proud of. So get started right now. Help us out with your donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can support the programs you value, and you can show off your WPR pride when you ask for the new WPR baseball cap.
Woo-hoo.
It's a dandy. It'll be your favorite accessory no matter where you go. And that's you have to give $10 a month or more. And then you can ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, you're the only person I know that would say it's a dandy. No one else uses that word. I love it. If you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day that you increase your support at WPR by $5 or maybe $10 a month, whatever that you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Be like Marion Park Falls, who says, I enjoy Larry's show, or Jennifer Minakwas, I love the Larry Mueller show. Woohoo! Thank you guys so much.
Mary and Jennifer, thank you. And why don't you just join them with your gift right now? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and thank you.
Show off your support for the programs you love with the new WPR baseball cap. This tan-colored adjustable hat complements all styles. How would you rock the WPR baseball cap?
Oh, there's nothing that doesn't work with a baseball cap. If you can't wear a baseball cap with it, I don't want it in my closet. That's it.
I would wear it with an evening gown to a formal occasion just to shock people into discussing Wisconsin Public Radio.
You could also wear it inside at night. You know, maybe turn it around backwards so you look real cool at the bar or at home with your family.
The WPR baseball cap will be your new favorite accessory. Ask for yours now when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Melinda Myers, our guest today on the Ideas Network. It's great to have her with us, and I hope you'll join in with your questions as we move along. I don't think we have any questions yet, but I bet you we'll get some. All you have to do is call. Let's see, what do you call? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Lots going on. We have a fun drive, and it's really nice to have someone like Melinda, who's been a great friend of the program for so long and has so much great information. And again, if you have a question, give a call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. By the way, how'd your garden do this season, Melinda? Any major successes or challenges?
Well, my challenge is keeping up with watering. In fact, I've got sprinklers running right now. I really train my plants to be drought tolerant, but boy, this was a summer when I needed to lend a helping hand. And my potatoes were a little smaller because I didn't get enough water on them. And my garlic was okay, but could have been better. So the weeds have been doing excellent in my garden.
But I know all about that.
Isn't that? But my figs, it looks like if this warm weather continues, I'm going to have a good fig harvest. I grow brown turkey and Chicago hardy figs. And usually if I'm lucky, I'll get a handful. But boy, I've got figs all up and down the stems. This warm weather has really helped. Last year I covered them because of the cold. Was able to extend it a bit, but this year I'm hoping they'll ripen. I've had one off of a container plant, and I don't have enough figs to harvest to do anything too exciting with them other than share them with my grandkids if they're extras. If not, nobody knows but me that I had any. And, it's the challenge. I think part of what is Wisconsin gardeners we like to do is just push the limit, try something new. And I've had decent success when I was in the city in a more sheltered spot. I'm now in a lot more open area. And the first fall frost hit my landscape here where in the city, the first couple didn't bother my garden. So a little bit different challenges, but, fingers crossed, I'll have a good harvest and plenty to share with a few people anyway.
Good. Well, Marlis in Westfield has a question, I think. Let's go there. Marlis, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I have Blushing Bride, one of the endless summer. It had one bloom about 6-7 years ago, and it does nothing.
Maybe
in too much shade. So I tried, I had one of the branches root, so I moved it over into full sun, and now the deer eat the top off of it, and still nothing.
Yeah, all that whole group of the repeat blooming big leaf hydrangeas. So the big leaf hydrangeas that we see in Tennessee and Georgia with the big pink flowers in alkaline soil, blue flowers in acid soil, bloom on old wood. The newer repeat bloomers like Endless Summer, Blushing Bride is in that series. and there's some new ones coming out, are bloom on old growth, but they usually die back to the ground for us because our winters are cold. They'll send up new growth. They're supposed to flower, but a lot of them have been a big disappointment.
Yeah.
Blushing Bride, yeah. And so Blushing Bride is one that's white that goes to hints of pink or blue, depending on your soil pH. So a couple things you may want to try. Leave it stand for winter. You could try mulching the base of the plant so that if there are any of the flower buds forming near the base of the plant, you'll get that first flush of blooms. And if it dies back to the ground, obviously, you know, prune it back. I always waited till the bud swelled and then I could tell what was dead and what was alive, hoping some of those were flower buds. And then it'll send up a new growth that should produce flowers. And the things that I found that help, it's not a guarantee, is making sure the plants have sufficient moisture. And this year was challenging. It was pretty dry. They'll take part shade. You're right. Too much shade may be a problem with blooming, but they will take, you know, morning sun is perfect with a little shade in the afternoon. In full sun, you've got to watch the water more closely. And then I mentioned before, fertilizing is critical in the spring. Just disclose, I do work with Milorganite, but the reason I like it is because it releases some of that phosphorus and potassium down to the soil when the microorganisms work on releasing the nutrients from the plants. And so phosphorus is good for flowering and fruiting and root development, and that's what we're trying to push the flowers, but not at the expense of pushing out too much leaf and stem growth. So it's a low nitrogen, slow release, non-leach phosphorus, and then again, that whole addition. One application in this, you might want to try it. I do some work with Birds and Bloom magazine, and the joke is, I always used to joke with the readers, put an extension on like a bathroom or a closet, but it wasn't to the ground, and so they just put lattice over it, and they did built this right over their hydrangea, their big leaf hydrangea that never bloomed. And that thing shot out through the holes in the lattice and flowered for the first time. So I'm not sure that's scientific, and I know it's not research-based, but when I was going to dig my endless summer up out of my old house, it started blooming. I took the shovel out, and I swear there were flowers ready to come out. So, it's one of those things, if it doesn't work for you next spring fertilizing and watching the moisture, you need to decide, is it a pretty plant from the leaves or is it time to replace it with something else? And the pink blooming Annabelle types, Invincible Spirit 2 and Invincible Ruby, those are hardy. They're pink no matter your soil pH. So if you want pink, that's a much more reliable way to get it. Hardy, and they bloom on new growth. So even if they die back or you prune them back to the ground, you'll still have flowers. Great question. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much for that question. Appreciate it. Melinda Myers, our guest today. Jill Nador, producer. Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive with Jill Nadeau joining us. She sneaks in every once in a while to help us talk about the importance of funding for the programs you enjoy here on WPR. In fact, listener support's the largest source of funding for our shows, and this drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Are more people contributing?
Sure. Well, I think we got one more. It looks like to me we need 9 more people to give during this next, only 25 minutes or so. So if we want to meet our goal, and, you know, these goals are really important because they're set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy, like the one you're listening to right now. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every week we hear from a different expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening, and it's kind of one of the most fun shows we do all week, to be perfectly honest. We love doing it. We talk with horticulture professors. We talk with nationally renowned gardeners like Melinda Myers, who can answer a wide variety of general questions. And we have some other ones who will specialize maybe in lawns or trees or vegetables or native plants, all kinds of things. So I hope you support this weekly show where you get so much gardening information all year long. Just give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And just think about what you spend your money on every day. Okay, I'll confess that today I spent over $100 on bulbs. Okay. But you know what? We're gardeners. We spend that kind of money. But isn't the garden talk just as important as those bulbs? Don't you learn how to take care of those bulbs? So, you know, it's easy to spend on things that are part of, you know, kind of your routine.
Absolutely. Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine as well. It's your source for news, maybe it's a conversation starter, certainly your place to learn. So spend some money on it today. Start with, let's say, $1 a day, $30 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your donation. Larry Kneeler here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during this drive makes the programs you rely on possible here. And your gift, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And however you choose to give, well, thank you. Your support is powerful. And today there's still something more that you can do to help. Just encourage a friend to join Wisconsin Public Radio. We'd love to have them in our little community.
Absolutely. You can spread the love. Maybe Jill, maybe you can go over to Jill's place and help her plant those $100 worth of bulbs.
Please.
Tell your friends and family that you support WPR, and you might inspire them to do the same thing. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we've got 20 minutes left on the hour, and we're still looking for, oh, looks like it's changed. We don't need 9. We now need 10 more people, so I don't know what happened there. But you can make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm big on this baseball cap. Support WPR and ask for the new WPR baseball cap. Jill will tell you I'm usually wearing a baseball cap of some. I have one on right now, as a matter of fact.
Yes, you do.
But I don't have the new one yet, which I'm going to have to contribute to get. And you can do that, too. You'll have that WPR logo on the front. You'll show off your public media pride wherever you go. Ask for yours with your gift. $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, just become one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or a credit card. You know, rack up those points on your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs that you love. Like Donald in Green Bay says, I love Garden Talk with Larry. Or Cynthia in Minocqua says, I have learned so much about gardening. The information is so valuable. And I've been gardening for 50 years, learning most of what I know from my farmer parents and participation in 4-H. And every time I listen to the gardening programs, I learn something new. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Cynthia, and thank you, Donald, too, with your gifts. And what about you now? It really makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Kneeler here with my guest, Melinda Myers. It's great to have Melinda back, and certainly she is ready to answer your questions. Caller's online, so let's go to the phones. And Cindy in Antioch, Illinois, we go to you. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for having me on. I have a row of ruby slippers. It's an oak leaf type of hydrangea, and I'm not really sure how to trim them and when to trim them. If you have any question, anything, any news on ruby slippers, I'd be interested.
All right. Melinda?
I have one in a pot waiting to go in the garden. So it's a beautiful plant. It's oak leaf hydrangeas bloom on, they set their flower buds the previous season. I'm hoping that ruby slippers will be as reliable a bloomer as, say, Snow Queen is in our colder neck of the woods. Minimal pruning. So with oak leaf hydrangeas, since they set their flower buds the preceding summer to blooming that next year, minimal pruning, just any dead branches, any wayward growth, minimal pruning. Their fall color is gorgeous on the oak leaf hydrangeas, and they're one of the fairly shade-tolerant hydrangeas as well. I think I remember Jeff Epping, I think, so I shouldn't quote him. So if I'm wrong, Jeff, I'll apologize, saying that they had ruby slippers growing successfully at Olbrich Botanic Garden. I know they have several oak leaf hydrangeas there. So you get the nice leaves that are shaped like an oak leaf, look beautiful all summer, flowers later in the season that start out cream, then turn a little tinge of pink, and then brown for the winter, and then great fall color. So minimal pruning. And one of the things to keep in mind, and I'm glad you brought this up, Cindy, is about pruning. I'm thinking new plantings. When we plant trees and shrubs, we want to do minimal pruning. The more stems and leaves, the more energy produced so they can put down roots. And sometimes our flowering shrubs, when we buy them in bloom, they're in a container and they're pot bound, and that sends a signal that, hey, I'm mature, I flower. We put them in the garden, the energy goes into rooting, and so it may be a year or two sometimes before they start blooming regularly for us. So not necessarily anything you've done wrong, it's just the plants putting down roots, good for longevity. Frustrating for us as gardeners when we don't get those flowers that first year after they've been in the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Cindy, thank you. Let's go to Marilyn in South Range. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I have a peony that I want to divide and bring part of the plant to my daughter, but she lives in Minneapolis. Anyhow, I probably won't be able to get down there for a couple of weeks. Could I pot it and transplant it like even in a month from now so that the roots are kind of like growing in the soil? Or else what we would do is put the whole pot and everything in the soil until spring.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. You've got the plant, but you won't be able to see your daughter until after you're worried the snow's flying up in Minnesota. Is that it?
Down to Minneapolis, yeah.
You could dig and divide, pot up a portion, either take that pot, if you're keeping it near your, if I'm understanding right, and sink the pot in a vacant part of the garden, the part that you're not putting back in your landscape. You could pot it up, sink it in the ground. That's one great way to overwinter container gardens. A lot of times if I'm growing, you know, I have some raspberry shortcake. It's a raspberry that I grow in a pot, but I put it in a nursery pot, an ugly pot, set it in my pretty pot. And then in the fall, I just dig a hole in a vacant part of the garden, sink it in the ground. That soil insulates the roots. You could do the same with that peony, your head that's headed for your daughter. You know, dig up, put back what you want to keep in your garden, prepare the soil. This is your one shot to do it. Pot up the part to go to her. And if you can't get it to her before the ground freezes, then yes, you could either overwinter it, sink it in a vacant part of the garden, move it into an unheated garage like we talked about before, just water whenever the soil's thawed and dry, and maybe put some stuff to insulate the roots. If you have potting mix in there or mulch or bags of shredded paper is what I use around some of my stuff overwintering in my garage just for a little added root insulation.
Yeah, good points. Thanks, Marilyn. Appreciate it. Sue in Mequon, your turn. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a real tale of woe about composting.
Oh, no. Oh.
I had always cold composted, But then I got jumping worms a few years ago and discovered them in the compost, which was horrifying. So then I got a compost tumbler. I add my kitchen scraps to this, but I have a heck of a time getting enough brown to actually make anything other than sewage. I lay my stuff on the driveway to dry it out. I hang it in old onion bags. It's just a mess. Is there any good way to do this?
So I'm guessing you're hesitant to use leaves as your brown material just because of the jumping worm issue, which is a good concern to have once you have jumping worms. I know we hate to buy stuff to put in the compost pile, but if you have potting mix, one of the things you might want to try using is if you have hanging baskets that you've purchased or containers you've planted and you've used sterile potting mix, so you know that the jumping worms aren't in there. You know, it's on cement. It's not in touch with the soil. For your annuals, maybe try dumping that into your tumbler. And that would be, you know, that soil will help break apart, maybe even let the plants get hit by frost so they're nice and brown and crispy, instead of adding more fresh green material. Peat moss or core I find holds the moisture, so I find it for me is a little more challenging to work with. The other thing I like is to use either two tumblers or a dual bin. So I'm making my fresh, stockpiling the fresh material, and then once it's full, I finish it off with either adding that potting mix or compost that you know is jumping worm free, little fertilizer, and turning it, and then stockpiling in a separate tumbler. And that sometimes speeds up the decomposition. That might help with the moisture as well. A straw or marsh hay, if you have a source for that, might be another option. So, the whole jumping worm thing is so frustrating. We're trying not to spread them. Brad Herrick from the UW Madison Arboretum did a great webinar on jumping worms, and I think it's available still on YouTube. There's still so much we don't have answers for. So I think anything dry you can put, just think of it like you're doing with your pile composting. But, you know, potting mix from containers, peat moss if you purchase. Even compost, bag compost, make sure it's certified and it's not bringing in some bad guys too. So, thank you, Sue, for worrying about doing the right thing, and good luck with trying to find a good brown source of material to kind of take care of that kitchen scrap soup of yours.
Good luck, Sue. Thank you so much. Scott in Madison will give you a chance. Hi, Scott.
Morning. How do I get rid of American pokeweed?
Pull, and try to do it before it sets seed. Depending on how you feel about chemicals, if you get it, you know, cutting it back before it sets seed, that'll help eliminate future populations. Sometimes they're tricky and you don't see them until it's too late. When they sprout, if you aren't opposed to using a total vegetation killer, wiping it on the leaves, sometimes I'll take a soda can, a 2-liter bottle or a milk jug, cut out the bottom, put it over the weed so I really concentrate that product. The organic ones, and I'm trying to stay away from the total vegetation killers. I have salamanders and toads and frogs. But I've got some pretty vicious weeds I'm struggling with right now. The organic product just burned the top, and so you'll have to do repeat application. But when they dry, you know, there's less concern of their impact on the environment. So it's one of those things that persistence, unfortunately, trying to get to it before it sets seed to start more for the future. I don't have any better options for you, I'm afraid. And boy,
It's miserable. Miserable for sure. Scott, thank you so much. Jim sent us an email. He says he heard you mention tree hydrangeas. How do you grow a tree hydrangea? He has a number of bush ones, big flowering snowballs.
Good question. And I should have thanked you, Jim, for asking about that. Tree hydrangeas, when I started my career many years ago, PG hydrangeas, which is a type of panicle, Panicle grandiflora, Paniculata grandiflora, where one stem was trained, and then they took off all the suckers and any of the other stems. Usually just then those branches are pruned to form a tree. So it's a panicle-type hydrangea. I occasionally see Limelight trained that way and for sale at garden centers. So they've done the work for you, training it into a single trunk plant. And then you just do your pruning on top and any suckers that form at the ground level or any shoots that come up at the base, you remove those so it doesn't turn back into a bush. So you could do some of that pruning yourself, or I'm seeing more and more garden centers offer them. One of the nice things is the PG hydrangeas that were formed in trees early in my career were usually looked pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Do you remember the hook, Larry? And I think now with some of the new hybrids that are a little sturdier and stronger, they seem to be holding up better. So you could do the training, or you could buy one ready to go, which kind of jump starts the process and honestly is a little bit easier. But I know I've seen them at several different garden centers.
Melinda Myers, our guest today here on Garden Talk. And I know somebody who's holding up pretty well is Jill Nadeau, and she jumped back into the conversation here to talk about our fall member drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions. Your gift, any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support's the largest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
It absolutely
is,
Larry.
Time's running out.
And, you know, I'm doing really well for a Friday, so I guess we got to be glad about that. We got it through the week. And would you believe that we only need, oh, my gosh, we did meet our goal, but that doesn't matter. You can still call in. So we did make our goal, and thank you very much. But, you know, your gift is still really important. Right now, just add to it, because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
Thanks again to everyone who has contributed. If you've given, thank you so much. If you haven't, the time is right now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And you know, Larry, we get so much information on the Garden Talk show. People like Melinda and all our other experts, they just know so much. And, you know, you're a lifelong gardener, you're still going to keep learning, which is one of the things that's so great about that show. And one of the things that is so unique about public radio, you just keep learning. And to me, that is an enriched life. And, you know, WPR is listener supported. So that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Just take a few minutes and make your gift.
And you can ask for your WPR baseball cap if you haven't heard about it yet. It's right now. Yeah, this tan-colored hat, it complements all styles. Bright WPR logo on the front. Your support of the programs you love will shine wherever you go. Starts with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau, and your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, we certainly appreciate and we count on it.
We certainly do. So why don't you join in with the 26 people that gave us a gift in this last hour and make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and you rely on every day.
WPR programs are listener power. That means that your donation right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And a $10 month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to just 33 cents a day. Now, that's a great value.
It is indeed. So make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and you'll get a lot in return. I promise you.
Absolutely. Like Jeffrey in Lake Geneva says, I absolutely love the Larry Mueller Show, especially the wildlife updates, the weather guys, and of course, garden talk. And, well, he also looks forward to Science Friday every day, too. So,
well, every Friday, at least, he looks forward to
every Friday. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, I look forward to hearing from you. If you haven't given contributed yet, this would be a great time to do it in support of Garden Talk and all the shows that you enjoy here. Easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Again, thanks so much if you haven't contributed. If you haven't contributed, do it right now. 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest Melinda Myers, nationally known gardening expert, TV radio host, author, and columnist. Go to her website, melindamyers.com. melindamyers.com. It's filled with great information. And certainly, you can talk to her right now if you'd like to. Just give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Becky in Houstonsford, we'll give you a chance now. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say a quick thank you to Belinda for talking about the panicle hydrangeas. I have an old limelight that's just a trooper. It was growing in a black hole behind a really, really big overgrown arborvita, and it's hanging in there. I know she's not an entomologist, but I have a question about this strange little beetle that's eating all of the silks on my corn. It's tiny and green, looks like it would be a cucumber beetle, but has no black stripes. Have you heard of it or seen it? It's devouring the silks completely away, and I'm afraid I'll have no corn at all.
I know Japanese beetles will attack.
This is not a Japanese beetle. I have Japanese beetles. I pick them off my beans and everything else every morning. I have my soapy water there. I have Japanese beetle traps in 15, you know, in the circumference of my garden, about 15 feet away. But this is tiny, maybe almost, but not quite, between a quarter and a half inch long. Looks like one of the green and black cucumber beetles. Same shade of green, but no black stripes. And it's attacking my corn silk.
Okay. What do you think, Melinda?
A lot of times we have problems with them with the corn rootworm when we plant our beans and corn seeds. If the soil's cool and moist, the larva will munch on those, but the adults, as you mentioned, look kind of like a cucumber beetle. They'd have that green. Some eventually will develop little black spots or stripes. Because it's in that, and it's exactly what you're saying, they eat the silk, so that impacts pollination, and so you don't get fertilization and you have fewer kernels on those ears of corn. At this point, you know, using an insecticide, you could try maybe one of the lightweight horticulture oils, check the label, you know, something like a Summit year-round spray oil. You could try insecticidal soap, which may discourage them. It won't kill them, but it won't kill good guys, you always want to check the label from treatment to harvest. You know, I'm guessing if you have corn, you probably have a decent patch of it. So trying to hand pick and throw them into soapy water may not be an option. Some people use a vacuum. It sounds like you're an expert on Japanese beetles. So you've probably tried all of that stuff on Japanese beetles. You know, there are some organics. Again, I would check the label just as it relates to harvest time, you know, like the spinosad and the neem. And is it Nancy, E-E-M as in Mary. Check the label first just to be sure on timing and application and effectiveness on the corn rootworm.
Yeah, those rootworm beetles. Those are the Japanese beetles that create the most problems, to be perfectly honest, with the corn silk. Becky, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Megan emailed with a question. She purchased two hydrangeas and was wondering if she could cut them back at any point before winter. Also, she purchased... Yeah, well, go ahead with that, and I can bring up the rest of the questions she has.
I just wondered if she told us what kind of hydrangeas she purchased.
Let's see. She purchased a... Well, no, she did not. She purchased she purchased a rose bush that said it was to be 4 to 5 feet tall. It's now 7 feet tall.
Oh, man.
Gorgeous blooming roses, very fragrant, but the stems in the center are what are that are extremely tall. She's wondering if she can cut those back. So two questions. One about hydrangeas, but we don't know what they are.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's an Annabelle-type hydrangea. Those are the ones with the big, roundish, white flowers, unless it's Invincible Spirit or Root Invincible Ruby, which have pink flowers no matter your soil pH. You could cut those back in the fall once they go dormant. All the others that you want, you don't want to do that severe of pruning. But, you know, on the panicle hydrangeas, sometimes you'll read about pruning them hard for better flowers, and I'll see people prune them really hard, and then they get this really scraggly growth. In the endless summer are repeat bloomers, so you could prune those back, but you for sure eliminate any of the flower buds that, if you're lucky, form and survive the winter for the first flush of growth, but hopefully you'll get new flowers on the new growth. So you could do that anytime during the dormant season. Panicle hydrangeas, minimal pruning. Oak leaf hydrangeas, like we mentioned, just dead wood, any wayward branches, very minimal pruning on those. And new plantings, really, we want as much of that above ground growth to produce energy for the roots. For the rose bush, if it was grafted, and sometimes they'll graft grandifloras as well as hybrid teas, we'll get those really big, stout, not as many leaves, lots of thorn. And if there aren't flowers, but it sounds like they are flowering like the one you want, you can prune those back. But again, I like to do my pruning on roses at the end of winter in case animals feed on them, in case we get winter damage. Hopefully it's one of the hardy ones. If you do need to give winter protection, prune back just what you need to do whatever winter protection you choose to do on your roses. But if those center stems are just really long and they don't have the flowers on that you bought, then you could prune those out too. And again, you might want to wait till the plant's dormant just so you don't stimulate late season growth.
Patty in Scandinavia emailed too, and she wonders if there's a way to control the spread of Annabelle hydrangeas. They're on the edge of her perennial bed. Digging is nearly impossible unless she had a younger, stronger person to help.
You know, and I think all of us could use one of those, at least I feel that way. So if you find one, unfortunately, we don't live that close, Patty. Well, I get the whole hard. Sometimes if you do a good, thorough watering, and I know Scandinavia is kind of that sand country. So a good watering when the soil is just slightly moist, not wet, may make it easier to use a good sharp shovel. I have a saw that's a root pruner, a sawzall even. You'll dull your blade. That might give you the strength to cut through and divide and keep those roots in check. You could try putting a physical barrier once you do that. They'll probably send roots underneath, but you might slow things down. So you might want to try you know, like a reciprocating saw that you can use a pruning blade and cut through, safety glasses, gloves, be safe. Moist soil is easier with a good sharp spade to penetrate those roots. But then once you get it to the size you want, any kind of physical barrier probably won't stop it, but it will definitely slow it down.
We had, Nancy from Wausau says she doesn't know what kind of hydrangeas she has, but they don't flower. she got a bag, I'm guessing, Endless Summer.
Endless Summer. That would be my guess, too, Larry. And I'm just going to put a plug. My hydrangea webinar is available on demand through the end of the year for free, and there's a really extensive handout that goes with it. But I'm guessing, like Larry, that it's one of the Endless Summer types. Leave it stand, try watering, do a good fertilizing in the spring. Again, I'm recommending Morganite. I've seen great results with that and proper watering to nudge them into bloom. And, you know, if you don't get the results you want, a lot of times we'll get flowers, but there's just a few, and we want the flowers like they have in Georgia. And bottom line is, I don't think we're going to get them here in the north.
No.
You know, so it's one of those that if that fertilization and watering doesn't work next spring, you need to decide if it's worth the hassle and if you want to just replace it with something a little more reliable.
Yeah. Kind of along those lines, Gina from Montello emailed about her struggles getting full blooming hydrangeas. She's only had 3 real blooms on a total of 4 plants. Cut them back in the fall. They grew super tall, scraggly stems and leaves, no blooms. She has 2 strawberries and cream bushes and 2 others. Yeah, 2 others that she can't find the tag for. She looked them up online previously, and all are supposed to bloom on new wood.
Okay, so full sun is going to give you the best flowering for panicle hydrangeas. For the Annabelle types, they'll take full sun as long as you can water reliably. Those are the 2 that bloom on new growth that we typically grow here. The climbing hydrangea, beautiful vine, but it can take 5 to 7 years before it reaches the flowering stage. And it's a gorgeous plant, but you've got to be patient. So with those panicle hydrangeas, and I could hear that in your voice, too. You were thinking the same thing I am.
Yeah.
Those are really reliable. The thing you may want to do is just make sure they're getting enough sunlight. Avoid over-fertilization, you know, high nitrogen, quick-release fertilizer. If you're doing that regularly or on the surrounding plants, you may be encouraging leaf and stem growth and discouraging blooming. But those panicle, like vanilla strawberry and strawberry sundae, are usually really good, reliable bloomers. So I kind of check your fertilization and kind of evaluate the sunlight and see if you need to pop it into a little bit sunnier location.
You know, I've mentioned your website, Melinda, but it's such a good one. I mean, talk a little bit about what all you've got.
Well, thank you. So it's melindamyers.com, not too creative of a name, but hopefully you can find it then. And I try to provide information on the questions I'm asked regularly and things that, you know, Larry gets on his show on flowers, lawns, vegetables, trees, shrubs, and a variety of things. Videos, audio tips, my webinars. That's how you can get to all my webinars from 2021. We're leaving them up through the end of 2021. So if you missed one, or when the snow starts to fall and you need to think gardening, join me. They're on my website and they're free thanks to all my sponsors. Like Corona did the hydrangea one. I've got American Transmission Company sponsoring 2, one next week and the one the following week on perennials for challenging situations and plants for the shade and all of those that attract pollinators to our landscape. And then I have a few more happening later in the fall. So, and I'm starting to do a few in-person appearances as well. So if I'm in your area, the end of this year or next year, fingers crossed, we all stay healthy and safe, that I'll be able to chat with some of you in person. And those are always on my homepage as well. And links to the webinars, the recordings are there as well. So, and if there's something we're not covering, info@melindamyers.com. Just be aware you outnumber me, so it may take me a while to get back to you.
Oh, Melinda, always a pleasure. Always great to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Here we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and it started right on Garden Talk Day. Jill Nadeau, our rose guru, with us. You should see her roses, man. I'll tell you what. She knows that you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio. Don't you know that, Jill? You know that people who are listening right now rely on us.
Absolutely.
And we rely on them. We rely on you right now to keep this program going strong. So I hope they'll do that.
I do, too, because, you know, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We did pretty well the last hour, and I'm just kind of checking now quickly to see. We have a goal of 15, and we have four. So we have
That's
15.
Great.
Let's try and get 15 in the next 9 minutes or so here. The goal is set to make sure that we'll be in a good position to pay for the Larry Mailer Show in the months to come.
Yes, let's meet that goal. I like meeting goals, Larry. And it happens one gift at a time. So let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might not have a life coach. I use Jill, but I know she's not a personal trainer, but she's a life coach. But Melinda Myers, now there's a coach for you.
She's for
all your gardening needs on... You got her kind of on speed dial today, and that's a good thing. All you had to do was call her up and ask a question, and there she was. When you listen to the Ideas Network and listen to Garden Talk, you're getting great advice from all kinds of experts. And, hey, what's it cost? You choose. The Ideas Network is your source for helpful information, and I hope you'll support it right now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And you can join Team WPR and sport the new WPR baseball cap. It's got a WPR logo on the front, and you can show off your public media pride wherever you go. So you can wear it on a hike, bring it to the ball game, or wear it in the studio like Larry. And this cap will be your new favorite accessory no matter where you go. And so ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is kind of like a daily companion, I think. We're on the air 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter if you're at home or in the car, if you're at the office, whether you're concentrating or maybe just relaxing like we
That's
like
right.
to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, you count on us for accurate news, for great music, and certainly intelligent conversation. And, you know, we count on your gift. That's how Wisconsin Public Radio works. So support your daily listening now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. And whether you've been listening for years or maybe just picked us up today or maybe for the last couple of months, you can become part of our community of members, people who support the programs they value.
Yes, and if you've never given before, why don't you start with $120, which is, you know, for the year, okay, or better yet, why don't you make an ongoing gift of $10 a month or more? You know, the math always throws me, so sorry about that. Your contribution of any amount makes you a member, and because the largest piece of our funding comes from members, you're really going to make a difference. So it all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it, and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. You can give at WPR.org or you can phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows. And that's why your support during our drive is so important. Could be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
It certainly is. And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how much you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And the wonderful thing is that everyone can make the gift that works for them. So right now, you can, your life says, let's give this much. And then maybe in a year or two, you want to up it or what have you. You know, it might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month, whatever fits you.
And we actually had some nice large contributions in our first hour of the show. I really appreciate that. But frankly, any amount is whatever's right for you is the right amount. You've got $100 a month, $200 a month. I don't know what my cable bill is right now or my family, you know, the phone plan, but it's in that area, that's for sure. Listening to WPR, it's something you do every day, so put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, and just go to WPR.org and make your contribution, or you can phone 888-202-2552.
And if you've already renewed or make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you. And listeners who renew and the monthly sustainers, well, you know, you're the backbone of WPR.
If you haven't given yet, join literally thousands of other WPR members who have done this. Donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know, you're listening right now, so if you made that decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, even during a member drive, now make the decision to support WPR financially because obviously it's important to you.
Member contributions really power the programs you rely on, so your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 supports your future listening. And we still need, I think, about 8 more to reach our goal of for the hour of 15.
Yep, looks like it. Mm-hmm. 8 more. That's not too many, but not a lot of time, but we can do that, right? And remember, WPR is listener-powered, and that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Yes, and today only, by the way, you can get that exclusive WPR enamel pin when you make a donation of any amount. I hope you'd make a donation of $10 a month and get that baseball cap because that's really, really cool. And if you do that, maybe Jill will tell you how many bulbs she can get for $100.
You don't want to know.
Jill Nadeau with me, Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for your contributions and for listening and for supporting Garden Talk. It's a show we love to do, and we love to hear your calls, and we'll love your support. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution and stay with us. Lots more in store right through the afternoon. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau.